Caution. This podcast is designed for mature audiences. We delve into topics surrounding sexuality and intimate relationships in a candid and open manner. Please note that we are not licensed marriage or sex therapists, and the content shared here is intended solely for entertainment and informational purposes. If you are under 18 years old or prefer not to engage in explicit discussions about sex, relationships, or mature language, we advise against proceeding further. However, if you're of legal age and comfortable with such content, feel free to settle in, grab a beverage, and enjoy this episode. Just remember, time flies when you're having fun. Oh, and the stories you're about to hear are true. The names have been changed to protect the guilty.
Welcome to Beyond Monogamy, where every episode is a journey of discovery, liberation, and endless possibility. Join your hosts, Roger Johnson and Janet Valentine, as they peel back the layers of convention, inviting you into a world where passion knows no boundaries. Beyond Monogamy, a podcast that transcends the traditional norms of relationships to uncover the raw, unfiltered stories about the lifestyle. And now, your hosts, Roger Johnson and Janet Valentine.
Welcome to Beyond Monogamy. I'm Janet Valentine.
And I'm Roger Johnson.
I'm Barbie.
And I'm Steve.
So for all of you flies on the wall who are joining us the first time and some of the people who are coming back because we said to come back, we were having a discussion about an offhand discussion about the types of occupations of people who are you meet in the lifestyle. And Steve was telling a story about somebody who was called the preacher. Do you want to relay that to us, Steve?
Sure, be glad to. We went to a party about a month ago, and the hostess was there, and she's real excited and said something. It was a Halloween party, so I assumed, she goes, oh, we have a preacher coming. So I'm assuming he's coming as a preacher. So I'm making a joke. She goes, no, he is a preacher. I said, what? So he's a preacher. I said, she'd been playing with this preacher for a while, and he finally decided that he couldn't be a swinger or be in the lifestyle and be a preacher, so he gave up preaching to be a swinger. And I just thought that was fabulous.
Yeah. Well, once you've crossed over to the dark side.
We were
discussing that a lot of the occupations are high stress, adrenaline.
I just have this dumb joke. I mean, did you call him Jonah the rest of the night? I'm sorry. Half the people listening may not get it. It's terrible. I just had to say it. Go ahead.
No, we were also discussing that, like, there's a lot of medical profession. There's doctors, ER doctors, ER nurses. I've done just a lot of people who are in emergency services. FBI. Yeah. I did an FBI guy. Homeland Security. She was in Homeland Security. She was related to.
This is why I wish I was a woman. I'd be so good at it.
Anyway, this is not the topic I want to talk about, but that's okay because it kind of leads into it, because this is how I met somebody in a very unusual occupation. I wanted to talk about, because coming into the holidays, and we have discussed Halloween parties, we have discussed Christmas parties, I think it's time to discuss the New Year's Eve party. And the New Year's Eve parties that I've been to a lot of them, lifestyle parties, but the ones that really, when I look back on my career in the lifestyle, the New Year's Eve parties in Paris are the ones that I go back to the most, just because they were so unique. I've been in Paris during New Year's several years. I would say 3 or 4 years in a row, we were in Paris. We would go and visit family in Europe, and then we would conveniently stop in Paris for New Year's Eve, because that's the place to be if you're wanting to go to a great party. So the first New Year's Eve that we were there, we had just found Lifestyles. I think the year before was when, if you go back and listen to the episode, I can't remember what the episode is called. It's when we went to the Do Plus Do Club. And I have my great spank bank memory of being the clock and being fucked by, I don't know, 19 guys or so. Yeah, that was great. Okay. because that was so successful, the next year that we came, if you're going to find these parties, one of the best ways to find these parties is on a website called SDC. SDC has international clubs. That's where they advertise. And there was an international club called Le Masque. They were advertising a New Year's Eve party. Now, it was expensive. It was something like 160 euro for a couple. But that meant that you got into the club, you got a dinner, and you had champagne, all the champagne that you could drink in a dinner. And then also all the fucking that you wanted to have, basically. And so, you know, they kind of let you know when you signed up for it that you were expected to dress nicely for this. So I had not traveled with anything really nice to dress with. And so I had to run around Paris that day. We got the tickets, run around Paris that day and find something to fit. And I got to tell you, for a slightly bigger woman to find something in Paris was a little bit difficult. So I finally settled on this dress that, you know, kind of squeezed into it, and it was really sexy, and it showed the boobs in the middle and you could grab them and some other stuff. And so I got that. Got the thigh highs, got the really fancy underwear, bought some fuck me heels. And then, the reservation, it said that you had to show up at, they wanted you to show up promptly at about 9 o'clock. And then they said you didn't have to worry about bringing your own mask. You could bring your mask if you wanted to, but that a mask would be provided if you desired it. And so we had gone earlier in the day to scope out where it was, because as Americans, that kind of what we do. We wanted to find out where is this club before we decide to try and find it at 9 o'clock at night in Paris. So we had gone to the club earlier to meet it. And the gentleman that answered the door there, he said, yeah, there was a party that was going to be there that evening. And he said, through broken French, that he didn't speak any English. And this was before there was a Google Translate. Okay.
So were you paying a cab driver to take you there early?
Taking us there early, we took the subway, the metro. Okay. Cause, we thought we were good enough to take the metro and walk over to it. Now what we decided after taking the metro and getting over there and walking around that part of town, we decided that we were going to take a cab over for the evening.
Okay.
So it's really wise to figure out your transportation, because there are different parts. There are different sections of Paris that at nighttime you don't want to be alone walking along the street. And we wanted to find out what kind of neighborhood it was in. And at this time, we had not really made good friends in Paris to tell us otherwise. Now we have good friends in Paris that'll say, don't go to this club, or do go to this club. And so we've got knowledge and people that we can ask for. But back then we were newbies to that scene. So we get to 9 o'clock, we take the cab, we get over there, we walk in, and they make it very clear that if you are in this bar section, the front bar section, that you have to be clothed. Okay. And then you can wear a mask or not wear a mask. Very few people were wearing a mask, because over in France, it's not, what do I want to say? It's not frowned upon to go as a swinger. Like, they understand that sex is part of the desire, and that monogamy is not real important to them. So there's no reason to really hide your identity. Not like in the United States, where you're kind of shamed, you know? If you're fooling around on your other one, you're kind of expected to do that over there. So it's not a big deal. The cab driver knew exactly where the place was, lets us out. And he's like not snickering underneath his breath. He's just like, yeah, this is one of many couples that I'll be dropping off here this evening. So
it's the same thing in strip clubs. And that's what's always just kind of blown me away is, you know, strip clubs here, they're so they're dark, and everybody's, you know, just sitting there, like, you know, they might have money, they might like they're trying to hide their poker face. But if you go to a strip club in Canada, like, it's a party. Like, people right. are screaming and hollering, like, it is a party. So anyway, I'm sorry to cut you off.
Well, that's okay. So we walk in, and They let us know, there's somebody there who speaks English, and they tell us, look, when you're on this section here, you got to have clothes on. And they did not provide you with a sarong like Moon City does. Okay. So if you're taking your clothes off, you're naked and there's no wrapping yourself up in it. And so they have like this beaded curtain, and past the beaded curtain is where you can get naked if you desire to. But if you want to go back over to the other side, you got to get your clothes back on. So it's kind of a pain in the ass, but you know, it is what it is. I paid a lot to go to this club, so we're going to do it. It's one of the things I would change if I was the owner of the club. Okay. But I'm not. So I have no idea why they did it. I guess they wanted the mystique of here you are clothed talking to somebody, and then, ooh, you go past this line and that's where you can get naughty. Okay, fine. You set up a little naughty line. So we have walked in, we've looked around and toured the whole place, and there's a lot of play areas that are around. It's a really nice club, very nice, plethora of couches and lots of playing spaces. And you can see that it's very clean, very well attended. And so we go up to the bar, and sitting at the bar is a kind of burly looking guy. That is definitely my type, a little bit athletic, maybe a little bit more pounds than that. And we talked to him and his wife, and they speak English. And he's like, oh, you guys are Americans. I say, yeah. And he says, he's from the United States, but she's from Brazil. And I said, well, what part of the United States are you from? And he goes, well, actually, I hang out in Alaska a lot. And I was like, what does that mean? He goes, well, I hang out in Alaska. And he goes, but sometimes I live in Houston. And then, you know, she's from Brazil. And I said, well, what is it that you do? He's the captain of one of these deadly catch crab ships.
Oh,
and he really is. Okay. Yeah. Like, he's not bullshitting, because I start talking to him and he's talking about it, and he and Fabio start talking about it because Fabio's got a little bit of knowledge on this, and they are discussing things. And so if he wasn't a captain, and it turns out that I know he is, because we became friends, and over several years we've met him now in Paris, because his mother lives right outside of Paris. And so he will go to visit his mother. He will bring his wife. She's from Brazil, and then they will visit his mother, and then they'll come up to Paris to do the clubs. Okay. Because if you're visiting your mom and you know the clubs are there in Paris, you got to spend a night there fucking around in the clubs. And so we meet them. I just called him the captain. I can't remember what his name was. And his Brazilian wife, she is like a sex bomb. Basically, she looks like what somebody with a lot of plastic surgery would look like in Brazil. She's got the big boobs and the big butt, and she's got the hourglass stuff, and she's got the loads of hair that are just coming out of her head, and she's just gorgeous. Okay. And you can tell he makes good money as the captain of this ship, okay, and some of the other adventures that he does down in Houston, and some of the other things that he does, he's got some money. So most of the people in this club, when you pay a higher price to get into the club, you're into a higher echelon of society that you're playing with, okay? Because we're not talking about trailer trash people who've decided to go out on the town and fuck around in Paris, okay? So
keep the riff raff out.
and so we talked to him, and Fabio and him and her go off. We all decide to go past the beaded curtain, and we start to play, and he goes to take my dress off. The captain goes to take my dress off, and he can't get it off because it was very hard to find. I didn't have somebody with me telling me that you have to make sure that it's easy on to leave you off. It was not
accessibility.
I was wishing for Barbie, not just accessibility. Not only it had accessibility in the front, but it needed to be
stretchy.
It needed to be stretchy, and it was not. It was hard to take off the dress, and he's like, damn it, next time get something that's easier to do. Oh, okay.
About when your wife about when was
What about year wise? Was it about, I would say probably 10 years ago. You know, so yeah, about 10 to 12 years ago, it probably was. Because I there are so many stories. So I will, so I played with him. I began to play with him and the Brazilian chick, Fabio was with her. But then immediately, as you get past that curtain, there are much newer guys that are with this Brazilian chick. So we lose them in the sea of playing. I'm playing with him for a while. But fast forward to another, the next year when we were in town, we met them at Moon City. Okay, and Moon City Club is in Montmartre, and the Moon City Club has the sarongs and has a lot of playing spaces and stuff too. And we were in a small space playing with him. I was doing him, and Fabio gets his chance to be with her, and so we are next to each other in a small cubicle. And there's four of us in this little cubicle. And she's laying next to me, and the guys are, and we're on the little platform, and our legs are open, and the guys are fucking us. And all of a sudden, I am deluged with like raindrops almost. And it's freaking raining on me. Okay. And I look over and I see Fabio is banging into her back and forth, and the liquid is just gushing out, and he's laughing. The captain's laughing. He's going, "Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you, she's not just a squirter; she's a monsoon." Like, I didn't fucking raincoat. And Phil said afterwards, when he did her, he's like, "Oh my god, it was great." And he goes, "But I'm soaking wet." And the thing is, what's really good about Moon City is the showers are right down the hall from the playrooms. So, like, we get done, Fabio's coming her, and the captain's coming me, and we all just head for the showers, and we are all the four of us are spraying off the liquid that has come out of this one woman, because it's not me. I mean, I at that time, I was taking hormones, I would get wet, but nothing like, I'm not a gusher. This woman, the Brazilian, I mean, all you have to say to Fabio from now on, anytime you want to make him laugh and talk about raincoats, is just turn to him and say, "The Brazilian." And I'll be like, "Oh, yeah, it was her." But so back to where we first met them was at La Masque. So we're there playing with them. And I mean, when you're playing in a setting like that, and it's dark and stuff. So I brought my champagne in. I set the champagne down. I was playing with the captain, and then he left, and some other guy comes over and starts talking to me. And they're attracted to you just because you're American. You are the abnormality. It's like, oh, there's Americans here.
Get some strange.
Totally.
Is it the same way for the, like, would it be the same way for me being a guy?
Yeah. Yeah. The women are going to come. And so the women have. At this point, I don't know where Fabio is. He's gone. Okay. Because they have grabbed him. He's gone. He's out. I don't know who he's fucking. It doesn't matter. Okay. Because like we said before, the whole rule on the party is you do your thing. I'll do my thing. Mm. We'll meet afterwards. We go home together and tell each other what happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So I had started with the captain. He had a hard time getting my dress off. He told me exactly where the dress was so that I could remember where it was. Okay. And it was on the floor. And so then he left. I mean, we fooled around. I can't remember. I probably blew him and made him come. It was like, yeah, yeah. So then the next guy comes over and starts talking to me. He's like, "I understand that you're American." And I was like, "Yeah, I can't really tell exactly what your accent is." And he goes, "I know a little bit of English. Do you know some German?" And I said, "You know, I've been studying some German." So I start talking to him in German. And so it's an Italian guy speaking German with a German accent. And I'm the American who's speaking English, trying to speak. So we're trying to communicate. And you don't need to say much other than here, there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Point.
Right?
You can point.
Right. So I'm playing with this Italian, and he takes his pants off, and he's got a pretty decent member, and it's really hard, and it's standing at attention. And I had my champagne and I also had like an hors d'oeuvre or something. I had set it down on this like coffee table like thing. And he indicates that he wants to fuck me over the table. And I turn, it's really dark, and I turn and I think we can't do it over that because that's where my champagne and my hors d'oeuvre are. But those are, they're gone. Okay. And I was like, they were just here. Set them down like seconds ago. Okay. They were just here. I set them down. Where the hell are they? And I look around and they're gone. And I indicate to him, I ask him, where did they go? I'm pointing to it. And so I'm saying, Essen in German is food. I'm saying, you know, where's the food? And key points. And standing on the walls are these people that are all in black. Okay. They're like black vest, black long sleeve shirt with a collar, black pants. And I look a little bit further and they've got black hats on, like black baseball hats. And they have little blue light flashlights and stuff. They have cleaning materials or whatever. And they're just standing there. And what they do is they reach over and pick up and clean up after everybody. Okay. So someone standing against the wall had to have seen that we were getting ready to fuck on that table.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Introducing Coconut Slickums, the ultimate personal lubricant that brings a touch of tropical paradise to your most adventurous sex party moments. Made from 100% pure coconut oil, Coconut Slickums offers a silky smooth glide that's as natural as a unicorn breeze practicing the rule of six or DP. No more worrying about synthetic ingredients or greasy residues. Just a luscious moisturizing experience that feels as good as it sounds. Perfect for enhancing intimacy or just adding a bit of luxurious fun to your day. So go ahead, indulge in the tropical treat your skin deserves with Coconut Slickums. Because when it's this smooth, it's always a perfect day at the meet and greet. To learn more, visit beyondmonogamypodcast.com.
Let's get back to hearing from the guilty.
Down and cleaned off the table. Okay. How is that? Right?
Wearing all black in a sex club is like wearing all white in an Italian restaurant serving spaghetti. I mean, you're gonna get jizz on you. Jizz everywhere.
That's these people's job. Okay. And they were these little we called them sex ninjas. I call them sex ninjas. They had lots of little sex ninjas that were just running around and cleaning up behind us. They're Italian guys.
Getting a free show.
Right. So, you know, can you imagine what does that job interview look like?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, my thing is,
how do you feel about cleaning supplies? Yeah. And how do you feel about people?
Well, could you see Mike Rowe going over there and doing an episode of Dirty Jobs? the best dirty job in the world.
Looks like you got something on your knee there.
I was amazed at how inconspicuous they were and how professional they were, and they were just, you know, all of a sudden it was gone. Because like then I remember, so the Italian guy puts me on this table and pushes the table over as he's fucking me. It was a great fuck, okay, because like he was fucking me so hard that it was pushing this thing around. It pushed up to the couch, and then there was no more. It was just all that was between him. My dick was just the only thing except in his. My pussy was the only thing except in his dick, and it was just like, yeah, this is really hot, you know, to be in a sex club and have this Italian guy who's speaking German to you, and you're speaking German back to him, and him fucking you, and then he gets done and gives me a kiss and leave, and I look around and I'm trying to find my dress, and I realize it's not on the floor anymore. Oh. And so then I'm thinking, okay, what would they do with the dress? And I look up, and on the door on the way out to where all the beaded curtain is to go out to the bar area where you have to wear clothes are a bunch of hooks, and my dress is hanging off that hook. You know, sex ninjas.
The ninjas.
Put it.
That's right.
If you were a guy on a girl and just back there doing work and sweating, I mean, would they throw you a towel?
Yeah,
they might even come and pat your forehead.
They did a towel. Okay, because I know the captain was really sweaty, and they handed him a towel, and the towel was black.
Yeah, I need to come over like a ring guy in a boxing match. You know, wipe me off, throw the water bottle in my mouth, and I just never lose stride.
Just keep walking.
What is that job description? You know, you're gonna have to work on New Year's Eve. You're gonna have to do some cleaning, some light cleaning. you're gonna have to be professional and inconspicuous. And the thing was, what I did notice too is near the end of the night, people were leaving them tips. Okay, they were leaving them good tips because they were very professional. I mean, you're talking about an elite set of society that's there fucking, and they've got enough money that they go in and, you know, you can pay extra to get fancier champagne at the bar or whatever instead of the cheap champagne. So there was that, and they were leaving them tips, and I mean, I know they were pulling at least 400 to 500 euro a night off of it by doing that. So I'm thinking in another life, I would have loved to do this in my college years.
Oh, but then they probably had some rule that you couldn't play. And then that would be the death of us all. You know, if you weren't working, sure you cannot play. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's the rule, is that if you're working, you cannot play.
We wouldn't make it, George.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
Janet, we wouldn't make it. Janet.
I just think, like, you should have, when you were messing around with the captain, like, you know, and like, you should have, like, taken your turn on top and got him to come and then been like, I'm the captain now.
We've been friends with them for now probably 6 or 7 years now. Because we have his cell phone. When he travels, when he comes to the United States, he lets us know that he's coming around and stuff. And we've seen him. I am so surprised that he and his wife are still married, because she's a lot younger than he is. And I know it's because he's got a lot of money. Okay. So, but no, she also seems to really love him. And who isn't going to stay married to that, especially if you let me fuck around, and then I can fuck whoever I want to fuck, and you can fuck whoever you want to fuck, and you'll pay for my plastic surgeries to make sure I've got boobs and, you know, tummy tucks and whatever, and we're a happy life. Who's not to say this is a good thing?
It's a win-win.
But yeah, so that was my New Year's party. Now I have more New Year's stories. Do you guys have any New Year's Eve parties that you want to talk about, or Christmas parties you want to talk about?
We're just to the point now that we can get out and do some of those, and it's funny we're talking about this, because I was just looking at the calendar the other day and looking at our holiday travel plans, and was telling her, you know, like, we kind of in a position to do about anything, you know, where do you want to be? And but last year, I'm pretty sure New Year's holiday was over a weekend, and when it's over a weekend, like, that's just money, and I think it makes all the difference in the world in planning and party attendance. There's a party venue down here, and it's on a large piece of property, and people will roll campers, tents, and those types of things, or if they don't have them, they rent them and they have them brought in, and it's just like this entire field of people camping, and they've got this giant barn that's converted into a giant kind of play thing, bunch of speakers in there, different types of rooms, and that was a lot of fun.
Oh man. Is that an annual event?
I hope so. And we talked about it and messaged the host, and we're still waiting to see. But gosh, I hope it is. We'll find out.
Well, my only New Year's story
Okay.
Because, you know, most of mine don't follow along the lines of the Paris, France or anything like that. No, we went to one that was supposed to be held at a hotel. And at the last minute, it was changed to an empty house. I don't know how they decided to do that. So you could not play there. But apparently at the hotel gathering, you couldn't play there. You'd have to go to a room anyway. So there was no beds. There weren't anything like that. So we are dressed up because, you know, it's New Year's Eve and that's what you do. I mean, husband's in a sport coat. I'm in a sexy dress and heels at that time. It's freezing cold. Freezing cold. And we go walking down this long driveway to get there. And I said to my husband, well, how long do you think we'll stay? And as we're walking down, we hear this screaming and this loud music coming from the house. And he looks over at me. And this is a really good long pause. And he says, not long. You know, so we get up there and we have to pay. And we're standing there and you just are scanning the room because we don't know anybody. You know, we're going to one of these parties from a website. And, you know, we have our money in hand and, you know, we are dressed up and we look around and there are like nobody's dressed up. Like there are people in wife beater t-shirts, guys with wife beater t-shirts on.
Oh,
you know? Yeah, yeah. So, we're ready to pay, and the cigarette smoke is just reeking, and we don't smoke.
I'm out.
So yeah. We're just like, yeah.
I don't know why you're acting all uppity. It's a brand new wife beater.
So, out of the blue, you know, we have the money to pay, and some woman has to take it. The guy in the wife beater can't take it. So, he doesn't go and get the woman. Now, this is with the music and everything playing. At the top of his lungs, he screams out her first name. I mean, screams. And here comes around the corner somebody who does something to spandex that it should be illegal. So,
there's those people that wear that fish stuff and spandex that should not be able to wear it.
No.
Like, that was not meant for you.
She was barefoot. Okay. Here I'm, you know, we're all dressed up, it's fucking freezing, and she's barefoot, and she's in her spandex. And she sees our name on the list, because we hit RSVP, and give her the money. And she says, oh, I'll bet you people want the non-smoking section. And we're like, oh, thank God, there's a non-smoking section. And it was just the other part of the house.
Oh my goodness.
So we go to the other part of the house. All they have are these big tables that have been set up. And I will say, that's where the quote, and this is going to sound terrible, but that's where the normal people were at. And we ended up having a great time. But every now and again, you'd go back over to the smoking section just to see what was going on. You'd go running back, sometimes screaming back to the non-smoke. But anyway, that was a story that was, again, you don't know what you're getting into. But it didn't discourage us or anything, you know. We the worst experiences make some of the best stories. So the guy in the wife beater and the spandex barefoot woman, it was memorable.
All right. Well, and go ahead, Steve.
I got one quick one. We went to the New Year's Eve party at the Social Circle Couples.
Okay.
So and. Fortunately, they did not do the social circle because it's about midnight. So we're all in there, and everybody's getting down, busy, and all the ladies are there, and probably about 10, 15 couples there. So I go in to the bag of tricks, and I pull out the goggles that you had bought me. Remember that?
Yeah.
So I put those on. I go to the back room with the big room where all the two beds are together, right?
Right.
And there's a guy who'd never been there before. And I walk in with my goggles on. Uh-huh. He says, what the hell is this? I said, these are my Japanese rain goggles. He says, what do you mean? I said, watch and you'll learn quickly. Within 10 minutes, the bed was soaked. He comes up and goes, I understand now.
So, and those goggles came directly from Fabio's experience with the Brazilian, because he got all of that and said on our way back home, I need a raincoat and goggles the next time I do this chick.
And a pussy snorkel.
Snorkel! That's right. You gotta be able to breathe. Pussy snorkel. You gotta be able to breathe.
Yeah. So that's my quick New Year's Eve story. That poor guy, he goes, I now understand why you need the Japanese rain goggles.
Yeah.
Right. So we've been over to Paris long enough that we have a couple of couples that are good friends of ours. And the one couple, we had met them at Moon City, one of the first times that we were at Moon City. We had met them in Jacuzzi. And he said, I'm American. Are you speaking American English? Yes, I want to practice. We went and played with them. And they have become our good friends, both Vanilla and otherwise. He's given us tours of Paris. He's the one that's told us, go to this club, don't go to that club. They're very good. One year, he said, are you coming over for the family for Christmas again? We said, yeah, you need to stop by here. And they said, we've been invited to a house party out in the suburbs. And they said, we want you to go. We want to bring the American couple to the house party. And I'm like, okay. And so it's like, how are we going to get out there to this house? He goes, I have a car. Okay. So he's very rich. He lives in Paris. He also has a car. You have to be rich to have a car in Paris. He has his own car and it's a big car. He goes, so I will pick you up. And he said, this is a true New Year's Eve party. We're having traditional dishes. They have a salmon dish and some other stuff. And he said, you are responsible for one course. And I said, you know, I'm living in an Airbnb. Okay. I can't make you stuff. All right. He's like, no. Do like we do in Paris. You don't make it. You buy it. Okay. So he tells us, you know, you have to buy whatever. I think we had to buy the appetizer or whatever. We had to go to the cheese shop or some other place. And we got whatever it was that he told me what I should get. Okay. So he picks us up. Now, this time I learned my lesson from Le Masque. I have learned every time I travel now to Europe, I pack a stretchy dress. So I packed the stretchy dress and we grab this thing. They pick us up and we drive out. I mean, it is a 40-minute drive out. And it turns out what they've done is they have rented a townhouse. Okay, like an Airbnb type townhouse. So it is, it's got a kitchen, small living room, and everything's small in Paris. And there's like 3 bedrooms upstairs, 2 bathrooms. And the couples all, there's like 8 to 10 couples that all have gone in on this. So you walk in, you put down your food, and then you also put down some money to help pay for the condo. Okay, just contribute to the condo. So we contribute. I knew this was going to happen because O and B told us, our friends told us that this was going to happen. So we had some cash to bring. We contributed to it. We brought it in. We come in and we are introduced to the person who's hosting it. And his name is Pascal. Okay, so I know that Rogers made fun of the name Pascal. Yes, there's a whole bunch of Pascals running around Paris. Okay. Oh,
I know.
And so there's this guy is Pascal, and he introduces himself as a bluefish. You know, he's like, I'm the single guy, I'm hosting this party. I come to find out later from him, because I also ran into him at Cap d'Agde, which is the biggest swinger thing in southern France. He's another one of these guys that has several girlfriends and doesn't want you to tell the one girlfriend that he has another girlfriend that he's brought to the party. Okay. So a lot of those guys hanging out in Paris. So I just learned, just call them all babe. Okay.
Yeah, you and your babe. Gotta have a spreadsheet.
I don't want to, do I recognize this girl or not recognize this girl? Anyway. Pascal was the host of it, and that guy, we walk in, they've got the food, they're having the food and stuff, and they also have these sort of unwritten rules of when play is supposed to begin. But he grabs me, we start dancing a little bit on the dance floor, and he takes me upstairs to fuck me. And then he figures out that I do anal. And so he had a great time with that. And so the rest of the night, he was chasing me to try and get me to come back and do it. And then I kind of get O&V take me over to the side and kind of let us know, you play a little bit too early. They kind of don't like that. To do when the host of the party has said, let's go upstairs and play. Okay.
Yeah, it's the host. It's not like you. Yeah.
You're supposed to fuck the host. Okay. You're supposed to fuck the host.
Exactly.
So I did. But then we ran into this other couple, and they're an Indian couple. So they are, we're all dancing. So you learn very quickly they're playing their French song, and you get out there on the dance floor, and Barbie knows this. If I have a little bit of tequila, a little bit of vodka, I'm going to be out there on the dance floor, and I don't care what the words are. If they're French words, I'm singing the French words.
Okay? We're dancing, having a good time.
That's me. I'm dancing That's around right. and that and stuff.
Having a good time.
And so I take the Indian guy, we'll call him S. I take S, and we go upstairs, and I play with him, and he's fascinated with me. And he's like, I'm not used to somebody as beautiful doing me. And I'm just like, and he speaks English because he's got a job that's a professional job that he just a lot of people in Europe speak English as their second language. And so he's just like, I'm not used to doing somebody so beautiful. I'm just this short guy that's whatever. And I was like, you know, but you danced with me on the floor. Okay. And you really let go. I don't care if you're a short guy. Okay. What I care about is that you had a good time. I want to fuck the guy who's having a good time. If there's a really hot guy that's standing on leaning against the wall and making fun of everybody, I don't want to do you. Okay. I want to do the little guy that has jumped in and said, let's go and let's kick around and let's dance. That's who I did. Yeah. Okay. So I take S upstairs and I do him. And then it turns out that Fabio is attracted to S's wife. And so he takes P, and her name starts with a P. He takes P upstairs. And so Fabio and P are upstairs, and me and S are upstairs, and we're playing, and we just had the greatest time with this couple. And then we end up exchanging WhatsApp phone numbers, and we have become Facebook friends with them. And so we have, at this house party, we meet another great couple. And see, these guys all, we were the ones, we didn't know anybody. And it turns out that they were pretty new too. This was only their second party, second time with this group. But just like in the United States, over in France, these people, they gravitate towards one another, and they start inviting the same couples to their parties. They because they don't tolerate somebody who doesn't play. And so the whole reason that O and B could get us into the party is they promised that we would fuck around. And the thing is, like, that party, we were there starting at 9 o'clock, and we didn't leave until 5 a.m. And for me, that was back when I could do that. That was back when I could do that, okay? But I fucked everybody at the party.
When that host grabbed you, he was vetting you. He was that.
And what am I supposed to do? I know, like, that's what's going on. So yeah,
go see that. Fuck, they're both out of here.
That's right.
And I'm not stupid. I knew that was what was going on. And I ended up fucking him a couple times during the night. I mean, it was totally sore pussy Sunday. Okay, because it was again a Saturday night New Year's party, and it was a wonderful time. By the end of the night, even though I didn't speak French, you felt like you spoke French because you were singing the songs and saying the stuff, and you were doing the ooh la la's and whatever it is that they do. Away. You know, they don't say, somebody else says something really good, they go, away, away, away. And so leaving going, away, that was a great, great time, you guys, away. You know, and so I mean,
they fucked you, French.
Right. You think we're different, but we're not. The only thing that they do better than us is they're organized clubs, because they've been doing it for 85 and 90 years. Yeah. They know what to do and how to do it, and they have the competition. We don't have that competition here in the United States. There's not enough of them, and we are not a free enough society.
Not at all.
To have these. Right. Yeah. So
we still got the Puritan background. So
right,
it runs deep here.
So I have great New Year's stories, and then I have the nightmare New Year's story of Amsterdam. I already told you that horrible story about the club that had one gas station sink that you walked down the hallway and that was it. And there were no showers and nothing. And we paid the money, but I was like, we're not fucking anybody here. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
For me to walk into a club, and that was Amsterdam. You would think that Amsterdam would have a better job, do a better job at competing with Paris.
But yes. They not have their shit together.
Right. Right. So, we're saying all this because I know Steve is getting ready to travel to Europe. And the thing is that, you know, get on SCC, take a look at some of the clubs and put your schedule in if you can decide. Our travel plans when we go over now, our family is older and the kids are older. And so they would kind of be like, grandma and grandpa are going where? They're going out to party tonight, someplace differently. I don't think that's going to happen.
That's not as easy to get away.
I will tell you, on my wish list, and I was telling this to Roger a long time ago, I've heard that there is a club in outside of Bamberg, Germany, that you have to take a little funicular or a little train to get up to the castle on the mountain, and you spend the weekend at the castle, and you fuck all weekend long at the castle.
Oh, now that sounds...
So that's on my my I want to do this. That's on my fuck it list, definitely. That's on my fuck it list. I still want to go out and find that one.
I don't know how that's not in my destiny to be there.
I've done that already, just a little different. It's called the lake house. We can hit the lake house.
Yeah.
Well, it's true, but the lake house, the difference between the lake house is we had neighbors and you can, you know, people could stop by. And
yeah, I know.
We're talking destination. You're going to go there and you're going to. I guess there's always some drawbacks to the fantasy. What if you get up there and it's terrible and they have one gas station sink or whatever? And it's like, you know, I can't imagine it not being that way. The reviews I've heard are great, so I'll have to find it. And it's still on
that. Do you remember that time we went? We went to that party way out in the country, and the people had the bed and breakfast and the swimming pool and the hot tubs.
Oh, I know.
I mean, you could go anywhere because they had zero neighbors. Zero. It was that was spectacular.
Right. That was Pam and David's house. They ran a bed and breakfast, and they had exclusive lifestyle weekends. Yeah. So that in order to get it, you had to pay for six couples, and you had to at least have six couples, and you pulled up out there, and it was out in the woods. Like, I know this was where I was on a four wheeler with another woman from the group, and we were riding the four wheeler, and we were naked. Okay, but. We were driving around on a four-wheeler, and she took a selfie of us, and then she posted it on her Facebook. And the selfie went down to, like, you could tell that it didn't show the nipples, but it showed that it was obvious that I was topless. Okay, and so she posted that, and my daughters were like, Mom, looks like you had a really great weekend. And I said, yeah, riding around topless with a bunch of friends is pretty fun. Okay, I didn't tell them buck naked, but that was back.
You owned it.
Okay, you just gotta own it. You gotta own it.
Yeah,
your mom is crazy. And sometimes when somebody dares you to ride around on a four wheeler without their shirt on, you do it. Okay, what I wasn't telling them is it was a towel that was down below, and I didn't have underwear on either.
We gotta look up that Bamberg castle, because if they have themed weekends, I mean, I want to go on a weekend where it's like whatever the opposite of Handmaid's Tale would be, Like, I want the women. I just want to be like the women in Handmaid's Tale and be summoned to a room, and like there be a fluffer at the door to get me hard before I walk in, and just be there, just to be used as a piece of meat and service the lady that summoned me, and then leave. And you know, and you know, maybe I did it good enough that she invites me back and has me, you know, feed her grapes, and I can have a few grapes too, and then service her again. Fuck, I don't know. I just, yeah, just a fantasy vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's with me?
Maybe that's what we should do when we all decide we're going to go into the business and retire. Is we should just run one of those clubs. And run it, you know, way out in the country. Way out in the country, and make it be, you know, this, have different theme weekends, and, you know, do group settings, or set it up as six couples who have no idea who each other are. Okay, and see what happens. But I know this, if there's only six people, I'm the one that's going to get fucked, and not in a good way, on the rule of six. So that's not going to work. It's not going to happen. Six people.
Not going to happen.
Okay, we got to do 12.
All right.
So I think we're about done with this topic of New Year's. I thank everybody who's listened, everybody who's joined us. If this is your first time, feel free to go back and listen to the episodes. They're in no particular order. You know, we start talking about our lives in the middle of it. I'm glad for everybody who's joined us, the flies on the wall. If you have a topic that you want us to cover, if you would like to join the podcast or have a question for us, please go to beyondmonogamypodcast.com. And there's a way to contact Roger. There's a way to contact me with the questions. There's also all of the old episodes. So with wherever you're listening, I don't know if it's iTunes or Amazon or wherever else it is, YouTube, that you're listening to this. They are, all of the old episodes are also on that website, beyondmonogamypodcast.com, as well as a way to tip Mandingo. He is the producer, and he does this for free for now. Because yes, we have the Slickums commercial, but we don't really make it yet. So we don't make money off of this. We're just having a great time having this discussion. Thanks for everybody who has stayed till the end. And we hope that you come again and come again and come again.
That's it for this episode of Beyond Monogamy. We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and we look forward to having you back again for the next episode of Beyond Monogamy.